Welcome to the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Axel Ragnarsson, and on this show, I dissect how seasoned multifamily investors started, built, and scaled their businesses. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another solo episode here on the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the concept of going upstream when you are solving problems and actually really identifying the root cause of problems in your business or challenges and focusing on that versus some of the problems that result from, you know, failing to solve that root cause, right? That actually end up becoming downstream problems. So to illustrate this concept, I'm going to share some kind of macro, higher level examples of going upstream to solve problems. And then I'll share some micro ones that may be a little bit more applicable to you within your real estate business. And the reason that I wanted to do an episode on this is we've been growing very quickly within our management company. We've been growing very quickly within our internal business aligned real estate partners. I've been forced to spend a lot of time on many different things. And a lot of what I'm trying to think about now is, can I go upstream to solve this problem once for good versus I'm continually trying to solve a lot of smaller problems or create processes to solve problems that are a little bit more downstream, right? This is a similar concept to what is the one thing that I can change or the one thing I can focus on that solves a number of problems downstream. And I have the perfect example of that that applies to real estate, which I'll share in a second. But it's a bit of a mindset shift where instead of trying to deal with what's in front of you at a given point in time, you may deal with it once or twice, but then you think about, is there a different problem that I can solve that's not the one that I'm currently working on that removes the need to work on this into the future? So let's share some examples of this at a high level, kind of the macro level. Within a small business, oftentimes, a business owner finds themselves, whether it's with an internal employee or whether it's an outside vendor, doing work that maybe is should be done by the either employee or the contractor or the vendor or whoever. And they, you know, they're constantly trying to step in, do a little bit of work, or they're constantly trying to check work, or they're constantly trying to build a process around better managing whoever the individual is that they're managing. When oftentimes the solution is to just go upstream, go a little bit farther up, and to just replace that individual, replace that vendor, replace that employee, replace whoever, make a better hire, make a different hire, and or bring on a different vendor, somebody that removes all of the need to solve the problems downstream. And, you know, this is something that I've dealt with many times, working with vendors or whoever, where, you know, a common example of this that people have is in property management. Luckily, this isn't a problem we have in our management company. I think we provide an excellent service in our management company to our third-party clients. But as someone who's been a customer of other management companies or a client of other management companies, oftentimes you're sending an email that you maybe don't get a reply to. So you're setting reminders to go follow up on previous emails you sent. You're constantly setting reminders to follow up on questions or requests that you have of the actual management company themselves. And you maybe you're spending a lot of time looking at your accounting every month because there was a couple of accounting errors or something like that. And now you're forced to spend all of this time trying to check their work when it's like, all right, maybe you just go upstream and hire a different management company, right? Hire one to where they reply faster. When you ask them to do something, they do it. And you don't need to babysit all of the little minutia of that relationship, right? Their accounting is robust and extremely detailed, right? So you don't necessarily need to scour your owner reports with the actual magnifying glass that maybe you did beforehand. You know, insert different problem there, right? I'm sharing a couple of examples. So you just go upstream and you just make a different hire. You build a different relationship versus trying to continually solve these smaller paper cut type problems. The one biggest macro one that I'll share as it relates to real estate investing in general is just buying better deals. And it's so funny how stressful the real estate investing process is when you're buying thin deals, right? Everything downstream becomes so much more challenging. And I've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast, so I'll kind of breeze through it. But it's like such a critical concept, which is why I want to focus on it. Your renovation budget and your CapEx budget and implementation timeline becomes so much more strained, right? You can't go over budget. You can't really deviate from your schedule. Everything becomes much more thinner and you absolutely need to hit your numbers at a much higher percentage of accuracy than if you just bought a better deal and had a little more margin. Your financing becomes far more important. You're fighting over every little point from an interest rate standpoint, and that entire part of the process becomes much more challenging. You have very little margin for error from a management standpoint. You need to really, really hyper diligently manage your vacancy rate. You need to hyper diligently manage the rents that you're achieving, right? And you may not have the ability to just provide a little bit of concession on rents to get a slightly better tenant or a tenant that will stay for longer because you have to hit that big rent projection to make the deal pencil out. And obviously, all of these things are important, right? You should do all of these things, even if you are buying a good deal. But that's just bonus, right? That's extra. It's not so absolutely aggressively managed when you buy a deal just at a better price. And when you buy the deal at a better price, the margin for error along the rest of the process becomes much, you know, maybe not much wider, but it becomes wider depending on how good of a deal you get. And that's the one decision you can make that makes the rest of the process incredibly or much less stressful and incredibly more easy to manage than buying a thin deal or a deal at market where everything else needs to be executed on perfectly. Another example from a real estate standpoint, more macro, is you're constantly having management problems, right? And maybe you have a good management company, but you have all of this turnover. You have expensive turnover where you're going in and you're spending all of this money to just to renovate these units that you feel like you're renovating them every time a tenant leaves because they destroy them. You're getting low quality residents. You're spending so much time on the management of the actual property itself, and it's pulling you away from being able to find deals and raise money. Maybe the solution, right? Instead of trying to figure out a better way to asset manage these properties or trying to figure out a different way to do it, and now you're going and hopping from management company to management company when the one you had was pretty good, but you're just buying tough deals, it's just look in different areas, right? We go one level upstream. We go a little bit farther up the stream, right? Up the river. We buy in better deals. We solve all of those problems that are downstream, right? We get better individuals that live there. They stay longer. They pay more. We have less management headaches. The turnover is less expensive. There's like 15 things that are solved by just buying in slightly better areas. Now, is that to say that you can't make money buying in rough areas? No. And you can't do a good job investing in rough? No, of course not. But if you're finding that all of these problems are becoming an absolute drain on your business, maybe that's the one solution for you, is you just start being a little bit more diligent about where you look for deals and you start focusing on different areas and different neighborhoods a little bit more diligently. Now, let's share some micro examples. Whenever you're turning units, right, this is a simple one. You find yourself replacing the carpet every time. When we go upstream, let's just stop using carpet as a material. Insert different kind of renovation material there that then solves upon turnover into the future. Constantly dealing with tenants forgetting their keys and you're having to rekey units every time a tenant moves out, and it's becoming a very laborious process. Go upstream, use electronic locks, right? There's all kinds of examples of this on a management standpoint. But again, when you start thinking about this at the micro level, you start to think a little differently about how you solve these problems. Instead of having an unbelievable key management system at your office, you can do it digitally with codes, right? With a smart lock or a digital lock. Investor updates. Let's say you're raising capital and you're constantly getting questions from investors about specifics, right? You should be compiling all of your FAQs as it relates to questions that investors ask you. Let's say this is for an ongoing projects, and just provide more robust investor updates every month as part of your process, right? You go upstream, you try to get ahead of that. If you find you're asked questions on a regular basis by investors as it relates to the investing process, whether it's FAQs about your business, whether it's your track record, whether it's the actual process of investing, instead of replying to those emails on a one-to-one basis every time, maybe we go upstream and we create some brand collateral that solves it for us, that's readily accessible, that we spend a little bit more time to do one time, and therefore we have it all the time in the future whenever these questions are asked. Right? Or you're just disclosing as part of the capital raise process up front and you're just getting ahead of it. Let's say you work with a bank that doesn't allow you to do remote wires and it's becoming an actual challenge to go into branch to do wires. Like, this is one that I faced, right? And I was trying to find a better way of actually managing that process instead of saying, maybe I need to move all my accounts to a different bank that provides a different level of service. And you're going to start finding all of these opportunities in your business on a regular basis to where you're solving a problem that you might be able to solve by just going upstream. And this is a huge focus of ours. Oftentimes, the reason people don't do this effectively is because going upstream takes a little bit more time to solve that bigger problem than it does to just continue hammering away on the lower stream problems, on the ones that come down that you actually face on a regular basis. But it's almost always worth it to invest that time to solve the root cause of something and to make your life a lot easier. And we're constantly thinking about this in our business. I already shared a couple of examples, but like, when you look at the companies that are doing, that are 10 steps ahead of you and whatever you're specifically doing, right? Obviously, we're talking about real estate here, but they've probably made some big decisions that allowed them to scale or allowed them to grow, whether it's personnel, whether it's a focus, whether it's software, whether it's systems and processes they've used, et cetera. Like one thing that you don't see is investment groups that own and operate, right? We're going to say and operate, own and operate like 5,000 plus units of Class C multifamily, right? I'm sure they exist, but they're not, there's not as many of them as there are companies that own and operate 5,000 plus units of Class B or Class A multifamily. And why is that, right? There's as much Class C as there is Class B, if not more, probably located throughout the country in terms of actual units available to rent and therefore to buy and manage. But it's because it's so operationally intensive, right? The drag that is created on an organization that comes with managing, you know, older and tougher housing makes it really hard to scale that business. So a lot of the businesses that get to the 5,000, 10,000 plus units, which doesn't have to be your objective in your business, right? You could have smaller goals than that, but the concept still applies, is that it's much easier to just buy and manage properties that have been built in the last 25 years where you're renting to residents that earn above the median income, right? It's just a much easier product type to property manage and then to therefore asset manage at the operator level. So these are all these things that we keep thinking about as we're trying to build a business that allows us to even scale. And I think that it's an important thing to constantly be thinking about within your business as you problem solve. So hopefully this was a helpful episode for all of you out there. Hopefully those examples started getting your mind going. But when you're facing a problem with it, whether it's in your business or whether it's, you know, as you're investing tactically, and this is, you know, whether it's property management, whether it's finding deals, what have you, think about how you might be able to go upstream to solve multiple different problems, right? If we can solve one problem that then solves 3 to 5 to 10, it's going to make for a more scalable business and it's going to help you grow faster. So if you found this episode valuable, please consider leaving the show a rating and a review. Helps this get in front of more folks, which is obviously our goal here. Coming up on 275 reviews, which is an incredible milestone. There's hardly any real estate podcast to get to that number. So thank you for everyone who has left a rating, left a review, and enjoyed the podcast and shared it with people in their network. Thank you all, as always, for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.